Yes, and your life counts, and enthusiasm definitely makes a difference. Hello, and welcome to the Sutton Eye Impact Show. On the show, we discuss a variety of topics, such as, but not limited to, personal responsibility, accountability, accountability partners, relationships, goal setting, finances, belief systems, support systems, to name a few. The show's mission, purpose, and intention is to discuss simple, basic, fundamental ways to help everyday people experience more fulfillment, satisfaction, enrichment, goal attainment, enjoyment, health, and overall peace through utilizing your own individual latent resources that lie dormant within you. The show is purely for inspiration and motivation, expressing powerful content that anyone can apply to change their life for the better or to change their life for the best. Hello, hello, everybody. Hope everybody's doing good today. I'd like to welcome everybody to the show and let you know that the lines are open. And if you want to reach out to us, you can reach us at BBS Radio, Sutton Eye Impact, or S as in Sam, always an opportunity, U as in unity, N as in night, E as in early, R as in Robert, H as in heavy, A as in apple, V as in victory, E as in early, and N as in night. At yahoo.com. I'd like to welcome my guest today, special guest, a very dear friend to me, Mr. Jay Banks. How you doing, Jay Banks?
Dwight, I'm doing good.
Glad you could join us. I'm going to open it up. I'm going to theme. We got a great show lined up for you. I'm going to put this theme out there because of several things that have happened. Bridge of incidences and synchronicities or whatnot. So I'm going to title today's show, The Masterpiece, subtitle, The Creation Process, Working with Belief, Thinking, Words, and Inspired Action. Everyone will receive pieces from the master. Pieces that are missing are replenished now and are no longer missing. Pieces broken have become unbroken now. Pieces out of order are now put back into divine order, in that order. Let's flow, let's go. 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 Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doeth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, meditating the law day and night, I thought about this very deeply. So I'm going to come from three different vantage points. The first vantage point I'm going to come from is belief. And so belief, I want to know, what is your deep-seated belief? So I'm going to read something from the CEB translation, Matthew 9:29. And it says, then Jesus touched their eyes and said, it will happen for you just as you have believed. So I'm going to come back and ask you once again, what is your deep-seated belief? What are you believing in yourself, within yourself? Then the next thing I want to tackle is your thinking. According to Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As a man thinketh in his subconscious mind, so is he. As a man thinketh in his subjective mind, so is he. As a man thinketh in his unconscious mind, so is he. As a man thinketh in his superconscious mind, so is he. As a man thinketh in his Christ-conscious mind, so is he. Then the third aspect that I want to come to you from is, what will move you to action? What would it take for you to begin to do work that you're interested in, that you're passionate about, that you would receive more benefits than just a paycheck? What will it take? Which brings me to my next thing, your speech. Your speech is critical and very important to your success. And so I got some documentation on that also. The first thing is from Proverbs 18:21. It says, the power of life and death is in your tongue. The power of life and death is in your tongue. So once you sow a word seed, you can't take it back. It goes into the atmosphere. It goes into the ether. It goes everywhere. You can't take it back. So over there in Psalms 141:3, it says, set a watch on my mouth, O Lord. Keep the lips. Keep the door to my lips. Then in Proverbs 6:2, it says, thou art snared by thy words. They are also taken by our words. So I'm going to come back and say this again. Your speech is critical. Your speech is very important. Your speech is paramount. So let me ask a question. What are you saying about yourself within yourself? What are you saying about yourself within yourself? Whether you're willingly admitted or not, we all have inner conversations. We all have internal conversations. We all have inner dialogue. So the question becomes, what are we saying to ourselves? What are we saying to ourselves? That's important. That's going to determine how high you go, if you're mediocre, or you stay at the bottom. Two things you're going to have to do. You're going to have to improve your belief and release the beliefs that are no longer serving you. You're going to have to improve your thinking, meaning lay hold to thoughts that are greater than what you've been thinking. And then you're going to have to increase your vocabulary. You're going to have to increase your rhetoric. You're going to have to hear something different in order to see something different, in order to do something different, in order to be something different, in order to have something different. Solomon said, in all you're getting, get understanding. So I'm going to go to Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So what I'm trying to communicate to the audience today is the invisible is more real than the visible. The invisible is more real than the visible. The invisible is more real than the visible. We aim today, our chief aim today is to show you how to change the seen to the unseen. And the way that you're going to do that is by the resources that are laying latent within you. That's your belief. That's your thinking. That's your speaking. And that's your acting. Which brings us to patterns, habits. Patterns, habits, behavior. These things contribute to the results that you're able to see. I think it was James Allen that said, we think that we can think in secret, but it comes to pass, and environment is but our looking glass. So it's very important that we take a look at these invisible things in our life. What are our habitual beliefs? What are we thinking when we are on autopilot? Are we thinking before we participate in speech? The words that we speak to ourselves, the words that we speak to others. Have we thought about it? And then it's these invisible things that cause us to take action. Either out of pattern, out of habit, or being on autopilot. Doesn't matter if we're conscious of it or unconscious of it, it's still happening. So we really need to take a look at belief, thinking, speaking, and our actions. We're going to have to evaluate ourselves on this level. We're going to have to look at what's non-productive and what's productive. Now I'm coming back to Solomon again. In all thy getting, get understanding. Could it be that the Creator formed his world with his words? So likewise, you're forming your world with your words. The four key areas of your life, your health, your finances, your vocations, your relationships. Could it be that you're forming them with your words, knowingly or unknowingly, consciously or unconsciously?
Okay. My name is Jarin Banks. We're back here on Sudden Eye Impact. So Dwight just gave us a great start to the show. He covered a couple different areas, and I want to actually dive into those and take you through a few exercises for what we call rubber meets the road, everyday operations, to go back to some of the points he mentioned about Solomon, right, to get understanding. So the first area that we'll start in, and really is the core of all the other actions or thoughts and even your language, is going to bear on what you believe, your beliefs. I love what a mentor of mine said before. He said, beliefs, what you are being alive in, believe, be alive. So the things that you believe in, that's what you're actually putting your life force into. So many people, you know, they'll say what they believe, they'll ask you what you believe, but actually their language and their actions and their results will ultimately tell you what they truly believe. And so to go back to what Dwight said earlier, it's important for us to have the courage, the honesty, and the clarity to actually take a self-assessment of where we are. So to say what we believe is one aspect of it, but you can also look at your environment, right? You can look at your parents. You can look at the words that you continually speak. You can look at the actions that you take. And you can look at the results that you have. So if you look at all those things, you can clearly start to line up. Well, wait a minute. I say I'm wealthy. That's what I say I believe. But the language that I speak is opposite of that. Right? And I'll give you an example of the opposite language to that. So a person says, oh, I'm wealthy. I live in abundance. I have access to all things in this world. Whatever I ask for, my Creator will provide for me, right? And then you get into an opportunity where you can pay for something that is beneficial for you. Maybe you want a new car. Maybe you want a new home. And you stop short, and your language is, I can't afford it. That's in total contradiction to your belief, to what you stated earlier. So that is a clear distinction that maybe that's not your true belief, that you're abundant or you're wealthy. Now, many people will get caught up on this because they'll say, well, what do you mean? I went and looked at this house, and I don't have the money for that house. Well, the first question would be is that the house that you actually desire to move into? Now, many people will say, well, I was looking at the price first, and that's where the problem arised, right? You're putting your power of belief into something else, like the cost or how much money you have in your bank, instead of figuring out what it is you truly desire or what it is you truly want to accomplish. That is, again, the core of where your belief is going to start to be developed. So that's where you start to take control or power of the type of beliefs that you want to create. Now, this is a powerful point that I'm bringing up, because many of us have grown up or been influenced all our life almost to the point where our beliefs have been inserted or programmed into us. So we haven't really learned how to create our own beliefs. And this happened from being around, you know, our parents, our environment, family, society, school. And now it's time for us to start to create our own beliefs. And how you can do that is through finding out the things that you truly desire in your life. So the first step today in our action steps, which Dwight mentioned. So if you're listening to this, you can take out a piece of paper. You can, if you don't have something to write on, you can think about it, or you can come back to this later. What is it that you truly desire? Because I know in our last show we talked about the power of questions. Now, some people will take some time to even figure out what they truly desire. What is it that you truly want to become, you want to achieve, you want to have in your life? And some of those things really are deeper than what you believe they are. Many people want money, but what they want the money for is to be able to purchase certain things. And the reason they want to be able to purchase certain things is to be able to have a certain lifestyle or be able to provide certain activities or experiences for their family, and to be able to do something or leave something behind for their community or for their family members. So if you keep going deeper, you will start to find the true desires of some of these items that you would like to achieve. So that's the first step there, is desire can actually seed the belief or the thoughts that you're choosing to be alive in. Now, a perfect example would be, I have a desire to buy a home for my mother and my sister. So the beliefs that I start to build around that are, I can find my perfect home. My perfect home for my family will come to me when I'm ready. I am abundant. I'm fully supported. I'm fully loved. I'm provided for. I have the means to achieve my goal. I have the means to be able to find my perfect home. I will figure out the plan and the steps and the action steps to take to achieve my goal. Even if you're not aware of the actual steps or items that will come into play, you can actually create the steps into that. So just what I said earlier, right? I always find the answer to my question. I will have help and assistance in reaching my goal. Right? You see how I'm starting to create the pathway to reach there, and those are beliefs. Now, it also goes to the point that Dwight mentioned earlier. I just used language. So did you hear the language that I used? I used language that was in the direction of my desire or my goal. Now, another common item there is what Dwight mentioned earlier, is not paying attention to the power of the words that we use. The words that we use reinforce our beliefs, and they also bring other people on board to help us when you speak certain words. So if you go up to a person and I say, my goal is to find a perfect home where I can live and my mother and my sister can live also. Now that you've spoken that, that idea has gone out to the person you're speaking to and to the people who are in that environment. Now those people are actually, you've turned them on, you've turned their brains on, their heart, their power, their spiritual power. They are now in assistance with you and trying to figure that out. Now, if you go and speak something opposite of that, you've just turned them on in contradiction to your goal. So if a person says, well, I want a new home for my mother, but I can't afford it. See, I just cut off everything before. I said, but I can't afford it. Now, many people will say this, and some people will say, oh, I got to be careful about what I say. Oh, I made a mistake. No, you don't have to look at it that way. Remember earlier, I think in an earlier episode, we talked about in 2020, we support ourselves. No more beating ourselves up or getting upset with ourselves. Let's support ourselves. You can take the seed of the language and flip it. This is what we call the law of polarity. The seed or the gift is always right there. So if a person says, I've spoken to my clients, a person says, well, I can't do that. I ask them, well, what's the opposite of that? And sometimes they hesitate or they struggle with it, and then they say, oh, well, I can. So the opposite is always there in your language as well. So if you find yourself saying things in the negative side, you can actually write those down on a piece of paper as well. So sometimes it's easier for people to talk about what they don't want or what the problems are in their life versus what they actually want. And the beautiful aspect of that is you can write those items out, and using that law of polarity, you can actually see your own inherent gifts and power that's right there, even in the opposite way of using that language. So this goes back to Dwight's point on the power of language. We can use the power of language to help create, to help influence and persuade other people to help us, to also communicate. It's amazing how much we hold inside and we don't communicate to other people about what our goals are, what we would like to do. I hear this all the time. People always say, oh, wow, I had no idea you wanted to do that. That's the power of language. When you start to share with other people your goals, your visions, your dreams, language can allow you to do that. And the next step, now we talked a little bit about thoughts. Those are going to flow in within those beliefs, within the desire, within the language, right? What thoughts are you holding in your mind? What thoughts are you paying attention to daily? Now, this is going to take persistence and practice to learn how to hold the appropriate thoughts in your mind. But how do you determine which ones are productive and which ones are non-productive? Well, this goes back to your desire. If your thoughts are in alignment with your desire, those are the appropriate thoughts. If your thoughts are not in alignment with your desire, those are not the appropriate thoughts. So another perfect example would be an individual who is looking to become healthy. That could mean a lot of different things, right? They want to release weight. They want to become stronger. Maybe they have an injury and they want to recover and now operate in a optimal way, right? They're healthy, and this can be a lot of different areas. This could be food, mindset, healthy relationships, just a healthy physical body. There's a lot of aspects there, right? So a person who says, oh, yeah, I want to be healthy and running and exercising and being able to move around very easily within 1 year. But when they wake up in the morning to get ready to go to the gym, those thoughts will sneak up that say, oh, you know, you can skip this today. Like, it's too cold, or you're too tired. You know what? It's not really going to happen for you. You're too sore. You're going to hurt yourself. All those different things. Those thoughts will come up every single day. And you have to look at those thoughts and analyze them and say, hey, are these thoughts going to help me get to my desired goal, or are they going to continue to keep me in the same position that I'm in right now? And that is the easiest way to analyze, are those thoughts supporting you, or are they pulling you or holding you in the same place that you are right now? And then that flows into the next thing. The thoughts that we think are going to impact our emotions or our feelings, and that's also going to impact the actions that we take. So you will have to start to seed your beliefs and your thoughts, take control of those, because those are what are going to motivate the actions that you take each day. And that was the final item that Dwight talked about in his earlier presentation. The actions that we take are what are going to generate new results in our life. All these other items are the seeds, right, to the actions. And the actions are what are going to change our environment. Once we take an action, it is by law. And you can look at it spiritually or scientifically. If you take an action, there will be a reaction to that. There will be an effect. And we've all made mistakes where we say it, where we said something to someone, where we said, you know, I really didn't want to say that. Or you've done something where you're like, you know, I wish I could take that back. And then we've also had situations where we've been like, you know, look at me, look at what I did. Like, you're proud of yourself. Or you said something and you really were like, wow, I'm so glad I said that to that person. Look how it helped them. That's the power of our actions. And how we take the right actions for us is through the steps that I just mentioned earlier. So to go back to Dwight's point, getting understanding is not just reading a scripture or a book or listening to us on the radio. It's actually listening to what we have to say, applying that to your own life, taking practice and persistence and determination to keep working on that day in and day out, and then taking action with that knowledge. Otherwise, knowledge is just stored in a book or it's stored in your brain. It is worthless until you take action with it, and then you gain experience from it. And that's where the understanding comes in. So then you're able to move forward and make differences in your own life, and then you become even more powerful because now you're able to explain and teach others in your environment, your family, and now you're able to start to pass on a legacy, and that's what allows us to change our environment, change our world, and start to live and operate in a new way, which is really the essence of what Dwight and I are doing on these calls and on this radio show, right? It's the ability to impact our community by changing ourselves and by coming up with what we'd like to see happen in our world and community through our own desire, through our beliefs. So that's what I wanted to share today. These are action steps that you can take, and we'll continue to talk about this more today and in future shows as we go on. Thank you.
Okay, so I was touching bases on three areas: belief, thinking, and your speech. I'm going to refer back to the CEB version of Matthew 9:29. At the end of the verse, it says, it will happen for you just as you have believed. So I have questions because, as Jay Banks said, in order to get different results, we have to ask better questions and then go within ourselves, deep into the recesses of ourselves, to find the answers, to birth out the answers. So my question to the audience is, what is your deep-seated belief in the area of health? What is your deep-seated belief in the area of loving relationships? What is your deep-seated belief in the area of your career path? And what is your deep-seated belief in the area of your finances? Do your beliefs in these areas match up with the results you set? Are they congruent? What are your dominant thoughts in your health life? What are your dominant thoughts in your loving relationships? What are your dominant thoughts in your career path? What are your dominant thoughts in your finances? Does it reflect your true desire? What is your habitual rhetoric as it relates to your health? Meaning, what words are you saying about your current condition? Are you beating yourself up, or are you building yourself up? If you need to reduce your body mass by a certain amount, are you beating yourself up because you ate something that you wasn't supposed to eat? Or are you saying, I missed the mark, I'm going to be back at it again tomorrow? What is your language in your loving relationships and in your relationships in general? On the job, out and about, in the supermarket, at the shops, at the tire place, et cetera, et cetera. What is your vocabulary as it relates to your career path or entrepreneurship? You know, are you saying that you're stuck in a dead-end job? I just can't get a break. Nothing seems to work out for me. I want to own my own business. But you're not taking steps to do that. You're just complaining about your current job. If so, your current situation is not going to change until you alter your attitude towards your current disposition. What is your speech as it relates to your finances? Are you meeting your financial goals? I mean, when you receive your paycheck, or you receive your income, or you receive money in your hand, how do you feel? What thoughts come to mind? What's your internal dialogue? This is very important. It's pivotal. It's critical. It's highly esteemed. Your words come from your beliefs, your thinking, and your words are containers. They're transporters. It is conveying to the universe and the observers of the universe, which are human beings, what you really believe. So we think that we can think in secret, but it comes to pass. Environment is but our looking glass. Circumstance doesn't make the man. It reveals him to himself. Circumstance does not make the man. It reveals him to himself. Circumstance does not make the man. It reveals him to himself. So these key areas, believing, thinking, and speaking, are of utmost importance. We ought to begin to think about what we're doing, become cognizant of it, become conscious, become aware. I'm doing some research and I'm finding out that to a large extent, we are not awakening. If we were awakened, we wouldn't do 98% of what we do. So to all the listeners out there, this stuff sounds simple, and you might be saying, I heard that before. I know it, this, that, and the other. But look at your results. It said over and over again, you can tell a tree by its fruit. So, I mean, if you don't have what you truly desire, then you really don't know it. And I think one guru said it this way. You don't actually know something until you can teach it to another and that person's able to apply it. So because you heard something, and I think Jay Banks touched bases on this, just because you heard something or, you know, you read it and, you know, you think you know it, don't take it lightly. Because if you really knew it, then you would operate in what Solomon talked about, wisdom. You would be able to apply the detailed knowledge. You'll be able to apply the exact knowledge. And you will be able to change things into the condition that you really desire them to be. See, we were never meant to believe something that we really don't believe. We were never meant to think something that we really didn't want to think. We were never meant to say something that we truly didn't desire to say. So when we do these things and we participate in these things, it's because we are not conscious. We are not aware. We haven't become the observer and taken a step back and looked at what's really going on. The awareness on that higher level is not there. It's at a low, low, low level. I mean, human beings are incredible. I mean, they're marvelous. They're wonderful. We are the only ones that can communicate in multiple ways. So we really have no excuses to really live like on a low, low level. If we're doing that, we're choosing that. Whether it's unconscious or it's conscious, we are deliberately choosing that. And so we have to become more mission oriented. We have to become more deliberate. We have to become more intentional. Focus on that word intentional. I mean, when you do something, and this might be funny to some people, but when you go to the restroom, you're intentional. You know exactly what you're going to do. If it works in one area, it works in every area, because it clearly says that there is nothing new under the sun. So we have to become more deliberate and we have to become more intentional. A piece of wisdom and exact knowledge is to be able to openly admit when we don't know. You know, a lot of times we don't know what to do. But do we have the courage to say that we don't have the answer and then go into quietness, because the answer is within us? It's in a deep well and we got to draw it out.
Jarren Banks here. Jay Banks, as Dwight says. Again, I wanted to come back to some very important points and examples that we can take, and I wanted to focus on language. So Dwight has brought up some very powerful points here about the power of our language, how we can use our language to create our lives, achieve what we like to see in terms of desire and results. And so I wanted to actually walk through some language examples to give you an opportunity to understand the power in our words, and actually give you a feeling. So it's really important for us to think about things from a conscious mental aspect, right? So you're looking at it and saying, oh, I understand what they're saying, but you're looking at it mentally. But let's take it to the emotional body. Let's feel our words. And so I encourage you to follow along with me, or if you're listening to this recording in the future, to go through these examples. So one of the things I'll start out with first here is something that a mentor of mine presented when I first started learning about what he called conscious language. And just repeat the money. Say the money. The money. Now say, my money. My money. My money. Now, depending where you are, what's going on right now for you, you may subtly notice a difference in your physical body, in your feeling, when you say those two words. Now, what I'd like to say consciously is, if you look at the money, it's almost like the money's out there, right? It's yes, there's money that could be in front of you. It could be in many places. But when you say my money, that starts to bring specificity to it, right? My money means that money's in my hand. It's in my bank account. It's in my pocket. It's associated with me, my goals. I'm using it. You see the difference? And so we can start to play with our language and actually have fun with the way that we use our words. And so I'll start to give you some words that are very powerful in terms of what we call on the creative side, meaning you're walking forward in your life, right? You're not standing still. You're not going backwards. You're not binded or locked in. You're actually moving and expanding and growing, which, as Dwight mentioned, these are the natural aspects of us as human beings. So words like I can, I will, I choose. Now, I choose is a powerful one because that can be one of those situations where, what Dwight said earlier, maybe you're sitting there and you're like, you know, I don't know what to do. Well, you can change your language and say, I choose to know what to do. Now, some people will hear you say that and they'll look at you like you're crazy. Like, what did you just say? But that shows you the habitual way that we've been using language throughout our land or our nation or our community, right? I choose to know. I am. Now, that's a powerful statement because now you're moving into the ownership or the understanding of something, right? I am wealthy. I am healthy. I am love, right? It's not about getting or going after love. It's like, no, I am love. Love comes from within me. So you start using language in those ways, and you can see how it redirects your thoughts and your emotions. You can actually build power within yourself by the words that you use. And so we've heard of prayer. This is a type of prayer. Also affirmation and decree. I'm decreeing something. And so you start to listen to the words, and I love what Dwight said earlier, at the very start of the show, right, he talked about many of us have had situations where we may feel broken or like a part of us has, we've lost something of ourselves. Well, there's powerful words that help bring it all back together. And one of those is remember. I love that word. If you divide it out, remember, it's like you're putting yourself back together. I remember. Reward. Look at some of these words, right, and start to study. And that's what Dwight said earlier. You may have to upgrade your language. You may have to go back to the dictionary. You may have to look at some of these words that we're using and understand the true meanings of them. Look at the etymology of these words. But also, simply just start to speak them out. And it's funny that words will have smaller words within them. And if you start to play with them, you'll see that they're right there. And you can use these words to enhance your life, to enhance your thoughts, to enhance your feelings, and also create an environment around you, right? So the language that we use influences the people that are around us. Now, this goes back to a very key point, and I'm going to end on this. Now, as we start to make changes within ourselves, we start to have different beliefs, have different thoughts, use different language. Your outside environment, remember, is the effects or the after effects of what you've been creating up to this point. So it will be almost a time lapse, right? Like if we change internally, everything outside of us is not going to magically just flip over in one day. And so that is where, and this is something that I talked about on a previous show, but I'm going to give an example. when many of us go to sleep at night, you usually lock your front door, correct? You lock your door, you close your door, maybe you close your windows, you may even close your bedroom door. Now, that's a level of security that you create in your own home. I know some of us live in environments or neighborhoods where you really don't have to lock your door. But most people still close their doors. They don't want insects coming in, animals, you know. They keep some type of barrier to their homestead, right? Now, this is physical. You also do this for your physical body. You want to be able to sleep comfortably and safely and securely without someone just walking up into your space. That's why people have locks, alarm systems, all these things. You lock your car up, right? You don't leave your valuables in your car. Now, many of us think about that, and we say, oh, that makes perfect sense. And then we get to the level of the mind or our thoughts or our beliefs, and we leave it wide open. We let anything come in and come out. We turn the TV on. The TV is programming us. Don't get that twisted. That's why it's called TV programming when you look at the TV guide. The TV is sending information to us. When you speak to people, people are saying ideas to you. When you read a book, you are consuming ideas. When you're listening to this show today, you are making a choice to either not listen to us or to listen to what we have to say. That is where the next level of security or power will need to step up. You start to control what thoughts you allow in and what beliefs from outside that you're going to allow in. Now, what did I say earlier? How do you know which ones to allow in? The ones that match up with your desire. The ones that match up and you know are going to assist you to move into a new space in your life or to do something different or to move to that specific goal that you've chosen. So I want to end my segment or sharing here today. Remember to be diligent and protective of the thoughts that you allow in, even while you're analyzing yourself and seeing what own internal beliefs and thoughts you have. You also need to be aware of what's coming from the outside and question those thoughts and beliefs, because those are going to be very impactful on the type of results that you will achieve in your life.
I am has come, and I am in you has come to eradicate, delete, dissolve, obliterate indecision, fear, doubt, worry, unbelief, wrong thinking, wrong believing, wrong expectations, guilt, shame, blame, inharmony, insufficiency, scarcity, lack, confusion, psychosomatic illnesses, and poverty. And these things are filled and replaced by divine health, right thinking, fulfillment, satisfaction, enrichment, enjoyment, and overall peace. So, out of all the things that we discuss, here's how we participate in the creation process. Number one, I need you to do what Matthew 18:3 says, become like a little child. Have childlike faith. Begin to dream again. Begin to play make believe. Then I need you to follow Philippians 4:8. And I like the NIV translation. It says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So, after you do that, I need you to do what Jay Banks says. Become conscious and become diligent. Now, pour all of you into whatever you select to do. And when you do these things, the first thing that will happen is you will begin to dream again by doing Psalm 45:1, which says, my heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of these things which I have made, touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. The second thing that is happening, Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You are now actively participating in the creation process, and you begin to change you. And in harmony with this, your world and everything in it is changing for the better and changing for the best. As you continue to do the fun work, the mental work, the spiritual work, you arrive in Hebrews 11:3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Then the third thing that transpires is Psalm 16:11. Joy will show up to sustain you, because remember, everything's changing. There is a gestation period. So all the seeds you sowed previously, you're still going to be having those challenges. But joy has come to let you know that you're on the right path. So the fourth thing that starts to happen is Psalms 45:4. It's a lifestyle change. And in your majesty, you will begin to ride prosperously. So maybe a new vehicle is going to show up. The next thing that begins to happen is, according to Deuteronomy 6:11, you begin to receive houses full of all good things which you did not build, wells that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. That means people, opportunities, contracts, favor with people will all begin to show up. The next thing that begins to happen is Matthew 17:27. If the Creator put money in the fish's mouth, he also put money in your mouth. You have big money in your mouth. Begin to speak it out. And the last and final thing that happens, the seventh and final thing that happens, is Proverbs 13:22. Legacy, posterity, wealth, and prosperity. A good man, that's you individually, both male and female on the call. You will leave an inheritance to your children's children, so that your living was not in vain. Meaning you went through the lessons, testings, and extrapolated the blessings, leaving proof that you have lived. As I draw to a close, be an agent of change. Be an ambassador for change. First you will change you. Then your world will change and everything in it. Have a blessed week.